Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
The Burt Show.
I'm a week away on holiday. Let's see if our mouths still work. Abby, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Feel like I kind of hobbled into the studio this morning. I feel like when you're not used to getting up this early and all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's 4:55 yes. And I don't get to go back to sleep anymore. I get to come into work, which is exciting. It's always nice to be employed.
Did you guys have a hard time falling asleep last night?
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. It was rough. I was falling asleep hard getting up.
I was trying to watch everything last night. Like anything that's to chill me out. I'm even watching documentaries on the ocean. And I'm up to like 12:30.
Did you have like the Sunday scaries or something?
I don't know what it was. Yeah.
I guess your body just kind of like gets used to staying up.
Yeah, because I slept plenty on vacation. But I guess maybe, yeah, for the first time in like a week, my mind thinking, okay, you got to be up at 4:45 or whatever it is, 4:30. And I just couldn't get to sleep last night, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have any issues falling asleep because as soon as I did, I heard my son in the monitor. And yeah, his blanket came off his feet.
So oh, I had to go no.
Oh, no.
That's the worst.
And then we couldn't find Horsey and we couldn't find Baby Turtle. We had Big Turtle, but we couldn't find Baby Turtle. So I had to get, you know, all the lovey's situated. And then we was good.
A true crisis situation in the middle of the night. You
weren't. It wasn't even the middle of the night. That. It was like at 10:30.
How you doing, Mo?
I'm good.
Yeah, how's vacation?
It was interesting.
Interesting.
It was probably the vacation I needed, not necessarily the vacation I wanted. I wanted to go see my family, but my body just was going through it, man. It was going through a lot.
Yeah?
So, yeah, I think God wanted me here to the point where I couldn't even get on a flight. So I ended up just having the staycation that I say I'm always going to have, but I never actually do. I finally had it, and at first I was sad about it, but with all the rest I got, I'm glad I did it.
Did you lose some weight over the week?
Probably.
Yeah, I kind of see it in your face.
The story I will tell you, you'll find out why.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure I did.
Sounds lovely. Kristen, how was yours?
Mine was good. It was half staycation, and then half at the, not even half, but a long weekend at the lake with you, Amanda, uh-huh. and her son, Asa, which we will get into those shenanigans later. But yeah, it was super, super chill. And it was nice to have like just some low key time,
yeah.
especially with Bart and with Jimmy.
The lake part of the vacation, which was only 2 days long, with
it felt like an eternity.
Two kids that are less than 5 years old. It's been a while for me, man. I couldn't focus when I got home. I was just done. My brain was just absolutely done yesterday. Cassie's back in studio.
I'm back.
Yay! Welcome back, man.
Thank you.
We almost ran into each other. We were trying to coordinate schedules because she was in New England and I was in New England, but we just couldn't work out the days.
We missed each other by like a day. I think I pulled up to a place that was literally actually like 10 minutes, less than 10 minutes away from Amanda had just posted a location.
Oh, get out of
here.
Or
a photo of it. We had quite a vacation. We're going to go from Louisiana back home. I was in Louisiana for some family stuff, and I was like, I can't handle being back home. Can't handle being the RV. Bert has kindly let me work remotely, so I'm like, we are going to go straight to upstate New York for my nephew Lucas's graduation, which, congratulations, Lucas. He graduated from college with an associate's degree before he graduated from high school.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a smart kid because he was taking classes concurrently.
So this smart thing is totally in your bloodline.
Oh, it's not even related to me, my blood. It's Chad's nephew. It's my sister-in-law's nephew, but he's my nephew, and I'm so proud of him. So we drove from Louisiana to upstate New York and passed through almost, I feel like, every American city on that side. We went through Memphis, Nashville, Louisville, Bowling Green, Cincinnati, Dayton, Cleveland, all the way up, and then we hung out in upstate New York, a little bit in Maine and Portland, which is beautiful, mm-hmm. Burlington, Vermont, which, by the way, vibes are off, weirdly enough. We're never going back. I have a fun story about that. And then all the way down the East Coast through like Philly, Baltimore, like I think the New York City, the kids saw like every major American city on the East Coast above Florida.
Man, for 4th of July week, that's like the perfect vacation there.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, and I was in Maine and Amanda and I drove down the coast to Fenway, and In looking back, what I said right before vacation was ridiculous. I had sort of prejudged the whole region, thinking it was going to be like Nantucket or Martha's Vineyard and very stuffy and bougie and blue-bloodish, and I knew I wasn't going to fit in this very conservative environment. It couldn't have been any more different than that. The people were absolutely great, completely down to earth. The food, and you know me, I don't really like food that much. Food for me just gets me from A to B. Every single meal was amazing. I'm sick of lobster, but every single meal was absolutely amazing. And if you haven't seen that part of the country yet, man, make it a priority, because it is really so different. And it's just the cutest little charming little cities right there on the coast. And everything has that old school feel to it. It was great. It was fantastic.
It's a cool area.
It really is, man. And like I said, every single meal was better than the one before. So I'm ready to go today. All right, ready to do this thing?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Some big things happened while we were gone. One of which was Jeff Bezos's and Lauren Sanchez's wedding in Venice. And if you haven't seen photos of this wedding yet, it is insane. Lauren Sanchez's dress is like this custom-made $300,000 gown. And of course, photos have come out of all the celebrities that were there. And I saw this article recently that came out that compared what it was like for him financially to fund this wedding. So if for the average person, a wedding is the kind of thing that you save up for over time. And, you know, if you're lucky to be able to have a big wedding and invite your own entire family, like, it's a big deal and it's going to be a significant cost, you know, for your wallet. But for Jeff Bezos, who is worth $233.6 billion, when you find out he spends $51.1 million on a wedding, you're like, how does that really sit with his pocketbook? So this is from She Wolf of Wall Street. I got sent this by one of our listeners, so thank you for sending me this way. But it compares what the, like, how the average person would feel spending this kind of money with, like, how it is relative to his income. So his annual income is about $10 billion a year. If you were to, like, span it out over his lifetime, he would be making about $10 billion a year, wow, which is insane. The average U.S. median annual income is about $62,000.
Is that right?
So that's how we're going to be comparing it, like, all right, apples to oranges. So for Jeff Bezos' wedding, they had these luxury gift boxes, which when I saw how much these cost, I thought, oh my God, this is like some people's salary, like dual income, no kid salary. The luxury gift boxes cost $150,000. They had something called Murano glassware, which is so fancy that I don't even know what that is. They have, like, it's like $220 per glass. Pastries from a very historic Venetian bakery. So all of that adds up to $150,000. And the relative cost, like, this is how much it actually impacts him. So, like, okay, when you spend $150,000, how does that clock in his brain? When you compare it to the average U.S. income, it's a dollar.
No.
What?
It's like him spending $1 to give those gift boxes.
I think we have a really hard time. Like, we hear a billion, but I don't think we fully comprehend exactly how much a billion is. Like, it's just ridiculous.
It's an overwhelming number.
Dude, everything about this wedding, I feel like I have learned against my will. I don't know if they're paying for media pushes, but I don't care. But people don't realize the difference between a million and $1 billion is $1 billion. Seriously, when you look at the scale of it, that's how much money it is.
Can we pause for just one second? Because I had this for later on in the show and I was going to surprise Cassie with it. But since you brought it up, let's go ahead. So I'm scrolling on my vacation just to, you know, see what everybody is doing on some downtime, you know, because you don't want to think or anything. You have to occupy your mind with something. So I'm checking out Cassie's stories and I make a note to myself, be sure to talk about the outrage that Cassie has about the Bezos wedding. Because it felt like every other post to me was just like, you so disturbed on how much money was being spent on this thing.
Dude, billionaires gross me out at this point. Like, once you, I think, start to grasp what it is, like what Abby did, that comparison, and then you're like, and there are still homeless people. Why? There's still hunger in the world. Why? And yes, I tried to pepper in like my own content, because at some point I was like, people are going to be like, this woman is unhinged, but I was just over everything.
So over it. And I could tell with every post, it was like increasingly more annoyed by the money that was being spent on this wedding.
It's gross. I know. Billionaires used to build things, and now they just make us look at their wedding on Instagram. So they had 30 private water taxis at $250,000 that relatively cost him $1.79. Not too hard. Mm-hmm. Wow. She had a custom Dolce & Gabbana gown. Lauren Sanchez, or now Lauren Sanchez Bezos. $325,000 is how much it costs to make the gown. The relative cost, $2.16.
This is crazy, man.
So really went all out on that one.
The most expensive thing he had to pay for was actually the donations to Venice, because there were so many people protesting and so many people that were upset that they were a part of the problem of increasing costs to live in Venice and how it was kind of pushing the locals out. So he ended up making a $3.6 million donation to Venice, which is the relative cost of about $24. Dang. And that is the most he spent cumulatively for one thing that we know of for this wedding. And for the relative cost for the $51.1 million wedding, that is the relative cost for him for about $339.
I know a lot of people will take a look at those pictures and see the beauty of Venice and all these extravagance of the wedding. Every single one of those pictures that came out, I looked at and I'm like, this is the last place on earth I would want to be. All the plastic, all the different wardrobe changes that were happening during the weekend. It seemed miserable. It would be miserable to be there.
My favorite was how Leonardo DiCaprio was there, but did not want to get photographed at all the way he had his hat over his face. I'm like, you can't hide, bro. Like, we know you're there.
And you know what? And the dude's made his own money, right? So he can spend it the way he wants, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it just seemed like such a fake event that it seemed like such forced enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. I was guessing that about half of the people at that place he had never even met before.
It's such a fake event, but can you imagine the gossip that came out of that weekend? Oh my God, the tea that some people are sitting on that we don't have, very envious of.
The Burt Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right. Your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
How many in here have locked themselves out of an apartment, condo, or home, townhome before?
Oh, yeah, it's happened. Yeah.
I've done it.
You've done it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done it.
I haven't done it, but I've been a part of it. Like, my friend lost her keys, and so I had to sleep in my car.
Okay. Oh. That adrenaline rush you get where you're like, oh, no. You can't find it. You don't want to believe it at first. You're in denial. Then you check the car. Can't find them there. Then you're checking your pockets. Can't find them. All the doors. The first time in 6 months that you've locked all the doors and all the windows, and you can't get in.
Oh, yeah. And this happened. This is, again, a situation where I wasn't the one who lost the keys, but I was part of it. So I'm hanging out with some friends over the weekend and at their apartment. And you know, we're having a good time, having some drinks, hanging out, and it's getting pretty late in the night. It's probably a little past midnight, and all of a sudden we get a completely unexpected knock at the door. And I'm like, who would possibly be knocking on the door at this time, mm-hmm. right? So we go and answer it, and I don't know who these people are, but according to my friends, they're the people who live downstairs. They are kind of familiar with each other just because they had like gone to the same school, but they didn't really like know each other all that well, but they did recognize each other from living in the same apartment complex, and they live one floor down from them. And so these guys come in and we're chatting, and basically they say that they were out at the bars having a good time, and the guy lost his key as the worst case scenario, and he's with a few other people, and so he's hosting people at his apartment that are all going to crash at his place that night, and they can't get inside the room. And so what do they think is the best way for them to get into their apartment? Well, they know that their balcony door is unlocked.
Oh, no.
Okay. Oh, no. All right.
And like I told you, they live one floor down.
How many floors are we up?
We're on the 8th floor.
Nope. Okay. Mm-mm. So going down's not, that ain't going to happen. All right.
So about 8 stories, about 80 feet, and they're on the 7th floor.
No, no.
Okay.
No.
One too many movies. Yeah.
Yeah,
they're thinking they're Tom Cruise out here. Yeah. So the guy's like, here's the thing. No. My roommate is gone for this entire week, basically, for the 4th of July holiday. And so we have, and I'm hosting all these people to stay. We have nowhere to go. This is the only option to do. So he's like, is there any way I could just look over the edge and just see what we're working with here? Okay.
Not a
scope
chance.
Out the sitch.
Exactly. So this is like a corner unit, and so it's like a big L-shaped balcony, and we go outside and we look, and we're like, it's not impossible. It's doable, right? And this guy is a fairly athletic guy. And he's like, I think that if I just kind of lower myself down and hang from the balcony, I'll be able to reach the balcony like ledge of my floor.
Is there any alcohol taking play into the decision making process at this point?
100%.
Okay.
Because I'm like, this is going to be the coolest thing ever if he pulls this off. But obviously, my friends who live there are like, if you die, I don't want to get sued for this, right? So
that's what they're concerned.
So
sign this cocktail napkin that says, I will not sue you. That is a legal contract.
Funny you say that.
No.
My buddy takes out a sheet of paper, it says, and he writes down, like, I am doing this out of my own volition. I am of sound mind. This is only of myself, and I promise not to sue. And made the guy sign the paper, okay?
Well, you're not of sound mind if this is even a decent idea.
No.
All right. It has nothing to do with the alcohol at all.
The court doesn't have to know about the alcohol at this point. And so he climbs over the edge of the rail, and he's kind of like sizing it up. And we're like, wait, hang on. Maybe we need to take a pause and rethink this for a second.
He's going in, though. He's not messing around.
No, he's not messing around. And so his buddies are like, is this the best idea? Because you're looking at an 80-foot drop down onto some bushes, basically.
And I'm curious, did anybody like tie something around him just for like some kind of backup situation?
So we grab some sheets.
Okay.
And we do a little double knot around one of the posts on the balcony ledge.
Like, this is right out of a comedy movie.
Like Rush Hour 4.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But the problem is the sheet's not long enough to give him enough room to where if he lowers himself down, it's gonna be tightened up too quick. And so we're tying a couple pillowcases to the sheet to then tie around his waist.
Oh my God.
Just in case he's to fall.
So you guys are really in.
We're like fully committed to the bit, okay? And so
this is not a bit.
No, it's not. This is life and death. It's a bit concerning. It's not a bit.
Life is not a bit.
And so he finally gets over the edge. He lowers himself down into like a squat, and then he basically just sort of sends it and starts lowering himself down, hanging off the edge of the balcony.
This dude is doing this.
He's fully committed. He's fully doing it. And we have people kind of holding on to the sheet as well, like just in case, you know, whatever possibly is or is not going to happen.
Who's videoing this at this point?
Yeah, I don't know why no one videoed it.
They're like,
concerned about the guy who could fall to his death.
We were all so locked into like trying to make this hilariously as safe as possible. Fortunately, the guy is tall enough to where, as he's lowering himself, his feet actually can touch his own railing below.
This dude is 80 feet up at this point.
Yeah. And so he's able to do that. And all he has to do is really just kind of like maneuver himself down a little bit.
Oh, that's
and,
it.
And just kind of pushes himself in and he makes it to the balcony just
You're
fine.
You're kidding.
He's fine.
He made it just fine. It worked perfectly.
Wow.
I don't think he would have been telling this story as jovially as he was if the kid had not made it.
No, let's do that. Let's do that. Hold on a sec. All right. Tell it. the last 30 seconds of it with a tragic, tragic ending.
So he's hanging there and he thinks that he can reach down if he just drops himself a little bit and he just commits to it.
Yeah.
And he slips and falls.
Oh!
Oh!
Is he okay?
No.
He's dead?
Yeah, he's dead.
Okay.
I guess you're right, Kristen. It had to end well.
It had to.
The Burt Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus, $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus, $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, ladies, you don't follow the sports, right? Maybe your man does, and you don't exactly know where he goes for long stretches of time. You don't understand what seasons of what sports are going on. So you're not exactly sure how focused he's going to be on you, the family, or sports over the next couple of months. So I found this morning at Ken's Brooks Bets on Instagram, the sports calendar for women.
Let's break down the sports calendar year so you know when your boyfriend or the men in your life are the most mentally available. And good news is we're heading into the best season. We're heading into the summer here. 5 stars for summer. Not too many big sports going on here. All we're really looking at, MLB regular season and some occasional golf. Good news is these are both like very passive sports to watch. This is when you get your stuff done. You get your dates done. You plan your traveling. Okay, this is your time and you need this time because what's coming, nothing will ever prepare you for. The fall. 1 star, I should probably give it 0 stars. This is just when they're locked in. Okay. NFL begins. College football begins. And just to kick you in the gut while you're down, we got MLB playoffs, which is the first time they're actually going to want to dial in and watch an MLB game. Got the NFL. Starts in September, basically goes until February when the Super Bowl is. You have college football. Starts in September, ends around the first week of January. I'm going to call it December to make you feel better. We got Monday night NFL. We got Thursday night NFL. We got all of Sunday NFL. That's great. I have Friday and Saturday. Wrong. College football Saturday. That starts from the minute you wake up with college football game day on ESPN to the minute you go to bed. So with all that said, this is your time to own Friday nights, okay? This is all you get. Own the Friday. If he won't give you Friday, he has a gambling problem. Winter. Better than fall. Still not great. Why? NFL playoffs. I mean, they're more locked in than they were in the regular season at this point. And we have the NBA season starting and the NHL season starting. These aren't as important. It's just the sheer volume. The spring. This is what we're rounding out right now. tolerable, certainly tolerable. You have NBA playoffs and you have NHL playoffs, but they're so spread out, it doesn't feel like that much. And you have the MLB season, so not summer, but definitely could be worse than the fall. I hope that mentally prepares you for your boyfriend's bank accounts and their availability.
I love how she starts it. How mentally prepared are you for him to be focused on anything but you over the course of the year?
She's not wrong.
She's not wrong. She's really accurate. Not wrong. Yeah. You got now before the fall rolls around. All right, so you roll in here today. I noticed it immediately, man. I'm like, were you running? Did you parkouring? What were you doing to lose this weight?
Somewhat. I didn't lose it purposely or intentionally. Well, I'll just take you to what happened. So in the beginning of the vacation, I was stuck in between, what do I do? Because I'm always saying, every single time we come back from a vacation, I'm saying I absolutely loved it, but I'm always more exhausted than I was before we went on the vacation. So I'm thinking to myself, maybe this is the time I really finally just have a staycation and rest. But my family is all getting together for the 4th, for the week of the 4th, and I started to get FOMO. I wanted to be with the family. So I'm like, you know what? I'll somewhat get some rest and just go to Colorado, hang out with the family, and it won't be as bad as when I take these trips across the country. And I was like, my plan was to get on a flight that Wednesday, I believe it was, and then I was going to stay with my family from Wednesday to Saturday. And Tuesday was the day that I was meeting my lady. She was going to fly here. We were going to hang out here for a day, and then we were going to go together. So Tuesday comes and she lands, and that night, Monday night, I went to one of my favorite restaurants, got something to eat, didn't think anything of it, came home. So Tuesday, she's like, all right, we got one day. What do you want to do? I said, I don't know what you want to do. She wants to see the F1 movie. So she's like, let's go to the movies. Good, I'm like, right? Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Huh?
Because we went to the movies, and within maybe 30 minutes of the movie, I looked at her and I was like, something's wrong. And she's like, oh no, gout. Like, and I'm like,
you know, it's bad if you're sitting there and your gout is like, all you have to do is walk down the aisle to your seat. Right.
And I'm like, nah, this isn't gout. This is my stomach. Oh. And she's like, what's wrong with your stomach? And I start getting these cramps like I've never had in my life, like extremely painful. So I'm looking at her like, what do I do? And she's like, you'll be all right. You probably just got to go to the bathroom.
You're like, I'm going into labor.
That's what it felt like, right?
So I'm about to have a baby up in this face. Like,
these ain't normal cramps. Like, yeah. I know the cramps when you have gas and you just got to release. I know that feeling. This is something different.
Now, I'm starting to panic now if I'm you in that theater and I'm thinking, this is something that I got to get done in the bathroom, because the last thing you want to do is that at a movie theater bathroom.
Yeah. Anywhere public.
Right.
I'm like, this ain't the time. But these cramps, like, they start building and building to the point where I'm like, I'm grabbing her arm because I can't take the pain. And I think at first she's looking at me like, the man with cramps, you can't take it. But
right.
I think after I started grabbing her, she's looking like, okay, something's really wrong. So I'll spare you the details, but I thought I could release. That wasn't the right move. So I have to get up now and take off. I mean, I am sprinting to get down the aisle and to the bathroom in the middle of this movie.
No.
As the movie is starting. Sprinting.
The movie hasn't even started yet?
It just started. Like, just started.
So you made it through the trailers and that was it.
That's it. That's it. And so
people are looking at you like, he couldn't wait? Like, I mean, it just started.
Yeah, and
why
the answer
didn't you
would
go
be
before
no.
it started? Right.
No, I couldn't. So I get to the bathroom and I text her back. She's like, are you okay? Are you coming back? And I'm like, absolutely not.
Mm-mm.
This isn't, like, I can't. This is bad. This is really, really bad. It's explosive.
Oh, no.
In the movie theater.
In the bathroom,
right?
Of the theater.
Oh,
so
no.
She's like, do we have to leave? And I'm like, well, you don't. But I got to go. So we end up going home. And just when I thought, like, all right, that was a one-off. What's going to happen? The next three days.
3 days?
The next 3 days of my life, I spent on a toilet. Like, no exaggeration.
At a certain point, you're about to get dehydrated. Did you ever go to, like, urgent care or anything?
No, because initially, honestly, I thought, like, okay, you know, I got the runs. No big deal.
Yeah.
It happens to the best of us. But by the second day, that's when my dude actually called me and said that I might have, I forgot what he called it, some kind of virus that was going around, and he said he had. And he said if it lasts more than like 3 days, yeah. then you need to go and get some help about it. But he said if it lasts about 3 days, you're experiencing everything I did.
Because at first you were thinking it was food poisoning. But that's not going to last 3-4 days.
That's what I was thinking right. initially, but it wouldn't stop. It like would not stop. This was like every 20 minutes, oh. I am just running full sprint to the bathroom. It got to the point where I was just sitting in the bathroom. Oh, like wow. It was no point in leaving. And she thought I was exaggerating at first because I didn't want to go see my family. I'm really down bad,
dude.
So I spent like literally 3 days just losing weight. Yeah. That's how I lost the weight.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that as soon as you walked in here, I noticed immediately that you had lost weight. But when Abby came in here with a new nose, I never even noticed it.
That's a good point.
Until Kristen brought it up.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.